Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
What is up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to another One Day at a Time After Show. Today, we're going to be talking about the season 3 finale, Ghosts. Victor and Nicole get married, Lydia gets a tattoo, kind of, and we've got Sheridan Pierce in studio. You don't want to miss this, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Oh, wait, I was like, I missed the... This is it!
We say this every
time. This is live, the one
you need. You can just serenade us. Go ahead, take it.
Oh, womp womp. No, okay, anyways.
I think Gloria does it a little bit better.
Just like a little. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit, right?
Slightly. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the One Day at a Time After Show. This is the season 3 finale, but like I said, I don't believe that it is the series finale. I refuse to believe that.
It's not the end.
It's not the end. I refuse to believe it. We have an awesome, awesome episode in store for you guys. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the season finale, and we have an awesome, awesome guest here. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Sheridan Pierce. Which camera am I looking into? That one. It's not like I'm on a sitcom or anything. A multi-cam show.
Oh, right.
Can't figure out the camera. Yeah, I play Sid on One Day at a Time, and I'm very excited to be here with all of you today.
We're happy to have you.
I'm stoked.
Significant other. We got significant other.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh. As always, I am your host, Taylor Gates, and I'm joined by two lovely panelists tonight as well.
What's up? I'm Candace Cruz.
Hey, guys, and I'm Rick Hong.
And you're so festive, Rick. Huh? I didn't know you had green glasses. Are those real glasses? Or are those like... just for facade today.
No lens.
Yeah, no lenses.
Oh. Commitment.
No lenses.
Commitment to the cause.
And professive. I love...
I thought you wore orange on St. Patrick's Day.
And that's why your last name is Cruz.
Let's just jump right in, you guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about this episode. It was... I cried more than once, but I mean, that's not really a new thing for this show. I cry a lot during this show, but happy tears. Good tears. Let's talk about Schneider first, because we were quite worried about him after the episode before this. He's been through a lot this season, but he's doing pretty well. You know, when this episode opens, he's 30 days sober, but he misses Avery, and I also missed Avery. Did you guys feel the same way as me and Schneider?
I mean, they have great chemistry.
Right? just a little bit.
Makes sense.
That was intended, guys. Thank you for grabbing that.
But yes, very sad that he misses Avery, but I did love that at the wedding, she came and sort of surprised him. And I love that it was the fact that Lydia told her that was like, listen... he needs you. Don't give up on an Alvarez. I love whenever he feels so included in
he's an Alvarez.
Like, he really is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I mean, he dumped his dad to be an Alvarez, so.
It's true. He kind of does do that in a weird twist.
Listen, I would dump my dad, too, if he was like that. Just saying.
I would dump my dad for Rita Moreno, period.
Wow, a lot of dad hate right
now. I love my dad.
My dad loves
Rita Moreno.
You guys are like, I drop my dad in a second. Like, I don't care.
Only if he was like that and drove me to drink like Snyder's dad.
Oh, well, yeah. If he was that kind of dad, then sure.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just like, she's so glorious. Like, she's irresistible, you know what I mean? I did also love his storyline. I mean, he got like... sort of a smaller storyline, you know, in this episode. But I love how they, like, set him up with the swimsuit model. He's like, okay, if I have to. I thought that was so funny. And it was such a change of character for him, because he tended to go after the sort of swimsuit model-y people before he met Avery, which is really sweet. So I really liked that part of it.
That's true.
And the line that really got me was, like, 30 days without alcohol was hard, but 37 days without you was hell.
I forgot about the line.
That was
really sweet.
That's the one
I binged it, so it didn't seem like 37 days to me, but...
No, it seemed like yesterday.
Yeah.
It did. But that one, that really got me. I was like, oh, wow, this is, like, such an epic romantic line. I really loved it. But I really enjoyed, you know, his little storyline. We also got lots of Dr. Berkowitz and Lydia and their very complicated name. They're not an actual relationship. I forget exactly what they're
epic. What is it like working with both of them on the show?
Oh, my God. gosh. Well, they're just both such professionals, mm-hmm. and I feel like they kill it with every joke that they do. And yeah. it's like, it's hard not to break because they're so funny and so good and just stay in character and say the most amazingly funny lines. And so, I mean, they're amazing. They're great. Yeah.
I feel like Elena and Sid and Dr. Berkowitz are all like a match made in heaven.
That's what
it's like, a dynamic trio.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking that last season. I was like, I feel like Sid and Dr. Berkowitz get along super well, mm-hmm. and they both are super into the opera. Yes. And I think that that's, I'm telling you, that's a friendship in my, I mean, and also on the show, but in my mind, I'm like thinking of storylines with them.
Oh, you're already writing scenes.
Yeah, I mean, like, not that I'm not a writer on the show, but I'm like, yeah, I see
that'd be
it.
Really good. I mean, what was that like doing the opera scene though?
That was, I was dying that whole time because Rita would do the craziest stuff. And when we were rehearsing too, I mean, she really goes for it. Mm. And so there were times when she'd have the opera glasses and then she'd just drop them over the balcony. And like, I think one time, the opera glasses broke.
Oh no.
And they were like having to scramble to find a different pair. And it was during a rehearsal too. So it was like, it was very funny. But yeah, that scene is one of my favorites of the season for sure.
Yeah.
That's yeah. So
good. I can only imagine working next to someone that has an EGOT that has such like a repertoire of work and such a gem to like even work with.
And sometimes you kind of forget about that because obviously she has that reputation. Mm-hmm. She's an EGOT and that's insane. But she's so nice on set and makes everyone feel so comfortable, says good morning to everyone first thing.
And if you guys don't know, EGOT is like the creme de la creme of what you want to get in the arts. It's the Emmy, it's the Grammy, it's the Oscar and the Tony. And that's rare. Like, there's not that many people that actually pulled that off.
12. If anyone can correct me, please do. But I think there's only around 12 to 15. John Legend is the youngest. And
he's
got
twice. I think he's got, like, he got twice.
Rita is one of only four women that has the full EGOT.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Which is insane.
But she does seem so just very down to earth. Like, I know, though, I love all the behind the scenes videos you guys post on Twitter, and the one where you're like teaching her how to chicken dance just kills me.
That was an insane
moment. I missed this one.
This was the best.
On, you guys can see it on Sheridan's Twitter.
Yeah,
but
it is on my Twitter. I think it's probably the pinned tweet right now because it's the pinned moment of my life. Because sometimes in between takes, there'll be kind of these pauses where they have to reset the cameras. Mm-hmm. And so there's a DJ at the tapings. Mm-hmm. And so he'll play music. And sometimes the cast just starts dancing. And so this was one of those moments where, for some reason, he started playing the chicken dance. Where he plays more current things usually. I don't know what possessed him. But this started playing, and so I started doing the chicken dance, and I saw Rita was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? And I'm like, oh.
Let me tell you.
Honey, Tony winner, Rita Moreno, let me teach you a little something. I'm the worst dancer. Well, okay. I'm okay at freestyle dancing, but I'm not good at choreographed dancing.
Okay.
The Big Ask was probably the best choreographed dance I've ever done. Epic. But I was like, okay, Rita, I'll teach you how to do this chicken dance. And my mom was in the audience and got it on my phone.
Amazing.
So that was, yeah.
And that comes into play in this episode. So I'm wondering if someone was like, you know what? Like, I wonder if that was like inspired by that moment.
I know,
thinking
right?
About that. I was like, maybe you started this.
Choreography by Sheridan Pierce.
Where's it in my credits?
I got a choreograph credit here. Like, put it in there. Put it on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was so iconic.
Look out, Paula Abdul.
Honestly. Oh my gosh. Next week. And then the one with you flossing is great too. I'm not going to lie. I just like love all these behind the scenes videos.
I don't know why there's so many of me dancing. I guess I just can't stop.
Well, you're going to have to teach me how to floss because I don't know.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, Marcel Ruiz, who plays Alex on the show, taught me how to floss. And so
I can see that.
And so what happened in that instance was I was like, I'm gonna start flossing, and he's like, don't embarrass yourself.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow. Shade.
I was like, I think I said, oh, you should do it too. And he's like, no, 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 no. Like, I'm not doing that. You can make a fool out of yourself. And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I'm okay with that. That's my brand now. And so I started flossing. And I was doing pretty well. And the crowd was clapping. There was, the momentum was there.
Uh-oh.
And then I knocked over a glass of water that was behind me on set. And they had to hold and clean up all the water. And Justina was behind me, too. And I was like, I just made a fool out of myself. These people are professionals. And I need to get my act together.
Like, you evened it out, okay? Like, the chicken dance thing, but then the water thing. So it's like you broke even, I think.
Yeah, Marcel was dying when that happened. He was like, I told you. And I was like, you were right. I mean, he always is.
Oh. Well, you guys have such a great dynamic on set. Like, do you guys hang out outside of set, or you guys work 5 days a week, so you're pretty much together all week anyway?
Yeah, that's the thing, is we're working so much that it's like, oh, we see each other every day. It's almost like, you know, when you're at school and you have your friends, and it's like you just see them every day. And so it's really nice. I mean, they're all such great people, and Isabella and Marcel are awesome. So it's, yeah, it's really fun. Aww, yeah.
I have one more question, actually, before we go back into the episode.
Yeah.
What was the audition process like for you going into One Day at a Time?
It was kind of a whirlwind experience, at least for me, because I got the audition, and then later that day, I got an email that I had a chemistry test with Isabella, and so that was the next day.
So, like, I mean, so, like organic, like chemistry, like organic, like
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Rick with the jokes today. I'm living for it. Yeah, so a lot of chemistry in the science sense. No, we had to do a couple of scenes together. I think it was one of them was the balcony scene from season 2. And then, also I had to do the big ask, like the whole dance and song. But I mean, when I did it on set, I had a choreographer, and it was kind of planned out. But for the audition, it's not like I had a choreographer, so I was like, well, I'm just going to come up with my own moves and just kind of go for it, I guess. And so, very hard to memorize that song and dance for the audition, but, I mean, it went well. I actually started... I started crying after the chemistry test because I had messed up the song. No. Like, just at the beginning, I was doing it, and I knew I messed up a line. I went, wait, can I start over? And I remember Gloria and Mike were like, yeah, yeah, no worries. And so I did it the next time. It felt good about it the next time. But afterwards, I was like, I can't believe I messed that up. Like, I want this so bad.
Yeah.
And, but then it was okay, because I guess I got it.
So it's actually good that
it actually turned out all right. And I also left my purse in the room and then had to go back. It was like, I was like, can I embarrass myself?
But that's such a Sid move, so it makes
sense. I know,
it works, so authentic to the character.
Maybe it was the character, yeah. I did not plan it, though.
Have you ever seen, like, Gloria's, like, because what Gloria will do is, like, she'll like, kind of, like, the do's and the don'ts of, like, auditioning or this or that, and, like, I don't, have you ever gone back and, like, read that and been like, oops, I made that mistake. Oops, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, definitely. I read her threads and I'm thinking, oh, my God. I messed up a lot. It's like... flashbacks to every just any bad audition I've ever had. I'm thinking, oh my God, this is exactly what Gloria was talking about.
Well, it worked out well for you regardless.
Yeah. Happy I got this. Yeah.
So funny. Yeah, let's jump right back in the episode, but we'll continue asking you questions. You're not out the hot seat yet, of course. But yes, Dr. Berkowitz and Lydia were so great in this episode. I love how hard Dr. Berkowitz tries. He tries so hard, but he's so sweet about it. And he does so much for Lydia, which is so pure. Like, they get the tattoo, of course, of Alex, which I thought was just hilarious. Like, so on brand. brand, so in character. And they end up going, and Andres Garcia, I thought was funny too, like the Andy Garcia. They share the name, but it's not Andy Garcia. Like,
right, so good.
And then they think they're going to go to Florida, but at the end of the episode, we realize they're going. They went to Cuba. Like, I need to see that. I need a season four just to see some adventures in Cuba.
I mean, the fact that she has a Cuban cigar and is just standing there like such a powerful woman, like, no, I'm in Cuba. It's like, what?
I mean, they're sharing a hotel. Not room, but a hotel now.
Like, hey, that's progress.
That is progress.
They're in the same building.
They shared a flight? Like, wow.
Were they sitting next to each other on the flight is a better question.
No. I can't imagine they were.
You never know.
There's a line. I don't think he's found
Maybe
the line
she had
yet.
A lozenge and she was fine.
Okay. Well, like, so, my question is, who's in first class and who's in economy, right? It's like...
I think she took first class.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's way in the back. She's in the front, you know, sipping a margarita.
Yeah, Dr. Berkowitz for sure would have let her have first class.
He would have used his miles to upgrade... Upgrade.
Oh, she's like a premium front seat, first person to get on the plane. He's the last one to get on.
It's so funny how we can like make these assumptions though, because we know these characters so well. Yeah. Like they're just fleshed out so well.
He's stuck in some middle seat.
Of course.
Oh no. He's a large man. Like he's very tall.
He is
very
tall,
like he would have
he's really tall.
Up to his like chest.
Yeah. But he wouldn't complain.
But hey, but you know what? He's a doctor, so maybe he could have splurged for Economy Plus.
Oh, true.
Maybe.
You're right. Little extra leg room here or there. So sweet,
I don't know why my mind went to, you know, how, well, I hear in first class they give you those cookies or something.
Oh, they give you cookies?
Maybe. I think so.
I don't know.
I've heard of this.
Well, when you get that, will you let us know?
Yeah, for sure. I'll live tweet the experience.
Yeah, you should.
I want to imagine that Lydia and Dr. B share the cookie.
You really should be a writer for the show.
These are great gems.
I'm pitching these ideas right now.
Gary, are you watching? Are you listening?
Season 4, it's going to happen. Inevitably, #SaveOdette. We said we were going to say that gonna save it after every sentence.
Oh, yeah, every sentence.
#SaveOdette.
#SaveOdette.
Love it.
We also had a really, really great Elena storyline. I love her storyline so much, but it was so powerful. And I love the fact that they are making her experience feel so, so real in terms of like the relationship with her father, because it doesn't just go away. It's not just okay, you know, all of a sudden, because he's changing. Like, there's still that pain there. And I like that we really got, you know, to explore that and see that in this episode. And I love that her and Alex had another really great scene together. Yeah. Like, he's becoming such a person that she can actually talk to and depend on, which I really appreciate.
Well, he's matured a lot and he's gotten older. But what I really liked about this was Elena's journey of being able to say what she wanted to say to her dad, even though it was never going to be heard. Just because I know that a woman's, like, relationship with her father is always an interesting one, whether that's a positive or a negative, or there's always something that you look up to your dad and he's your superhero. And then when that veil is taken away, which happened for Elena at her quince, it's kind of like really hard to mend that at that young age after that's been like taken from
you. I mean, like that's like the biggest thing. Like quinceañera is like the biggest other than like other than the wedding.
And for him to walk away for her dance, like I've never cried so hard. Like I cry at a lot of shows. I do This Is Us after show. Like let's be real, I cry all the time. But this one, like it hit home relationship wise so close that I was just, you could feel her pain and she did such a good job delivering that monologue. And to see him basically fulfill her want without ever hearing it was just like icing on top of the cake.
Absolutely.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah. How they brought it back. And because it was so painful to watch the first time of her not getting that. And I, tears just streaming down my face when they brought it back around and had that finally, you're right, like coming to fruition. They get paid off so, so huge, I think. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we did get that little moment of her, because she is so confident, but she's like, has that little moment of doubt and like sort of wanting to hide herself and be like, I don't know how I feel about wearing a suit like in front of these people who might not accept me. Because I think that's such a real thing too. Like, no matter how proud you are, you know, of your sexuality and of yourself, like there are those moments of like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I like want to be as open as I usually am. And I like that they showed that. I thought that was very real.
Well, I think even your all's conversation on Valentine's Day, it kind of shows that Elena has layers, and I think that sometimes her confidence can be a facade for her insecurity. And I think we got to see a little bit of that in this episode and in the Valentine's Day episode when you just kind of called her out and been like, hey, I need this. And
if you just would have gone to Benihana, come on now.
I mean, listen, we love Benihana.
Onion, guys.
I love Benihana so much.
I've never been.
Oh my gosh.
We so your monologue was real then.
Yeah, no, we're all going after
this. Hey guys,
this.
Listen up. Candace Cruz has not been to Benihana. So that's the best opening line. If you ever see Candace Cruz out in public, just be like, hey, I'll take you to Benihana.
Listen, this isn't get Candace a date. This is one day at a time. So let's continue on, please.
We also, of course, this is a very, very big episode for Penelope in lots and lots of ways.
Yes.
I mean, she's going to her ex's wedding. That's a big thing. That's a big deal. And I love how her line was like, there's only two people that go to ex's weddings, psychopaths and heroes. And then she's like, do you know which one I am? And everyone has to pause for a second. Because that's such a weird thing, such a weird feeling. But she's like hero for it, I think. I'm team hero.
Well, especially since that, you know, Nicole is... her doppelganger.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 100%. Like her doppelganger. You know, so it's even more strange. You know, it's not just kind of like, oh, I'm going to this. It's like, is that me? Is that not me that's up there right now? So
I have to say, I never saw the resemblance between Justina and Gloria until she walked through the door. I was like, oh, wow.
It's the best reveal ever. Like,
when were you on repeat. When were you tipped off?
Oh.
That she was going to do that.
I think early when we were shooting the season, and I thought, oh, that's going to be good. That's really good. And just the fact that they had her hair the exact same way, and the outfit was practically the same with that top and cardigan.
Just color change.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So good.
It was epic.
Do you know if they work in the laugh together?
Oh, I think they did.
Gosh, the laugh is so good.
I think so, because it's so perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's so good. Yeah, I don't know that I had seen the similarities until that moment, and I thought, oh my god.
Right?
It's like mirror image of each other, and then when they look at each other, we're like, wait.
So good. I mean, I know that Gloria obviously writes the show, so I'm sure that she sees the mannerisms of Justina, that she's like, okay, I can...
And Gloria's an actress. Like, she was an actress first before she became showrunner, producer, writer, and everything else. Right. Director, so...
Yeah. But still, even with that, the fact that she got it so, so, like, uncannily close.
Oh, yeah. So amazing. Impressive.
That's a skill in general for anybody to do, like, that performance.
For real. And so, in this episode, I really like that we have Berto back. I always love it when he kind of comes back in the flashbacks. It always just adds a whole nother layer of, like, emotion. But I think they utilize him so well. You know, it's not just, like, you know, throw him... Like, I think that it really drives the storyline, like, in a really, really effective ways. And so I love that she has herself kind of talking to him, you know, throughout the night. And she's kind of going through all these past relationships of, like, well, why didn't this one work out? Like, maybe this is your happy ending. And then when they brought Max back, I'm not going to lie, I was, like, rooting for
him. Oh, man.
Me too.
I really
That is that. A beautiful couple.
Yeah. I got to agree with that one. Yeah, when he came back, I was like, oh, there
this
we go.
Because they had such, like, a heat about them in previous seasons.
Completely.
And then, obviously, I love our new love connection, but it was just kind of like, oh,
yeah.
Cute, rather than,
like, ooh.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
The passion. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, as much as I was rooting for them, I really did like the message that they sent that was like, listen, maybe I'm not meant to have, like, one epic love like you guys did, and that's okay. Like, maybe I'll have, you know, different people for different points in my life, and maybe I won't, but I am happy right now as I am. And I love, love, love that they sent that message, because it's true. Like, you don't necessarily need to be in a relationship to be whole. Like,
it's like, you gotta be happy with yourself before you can be happy with other people or anything else. I 100% back that.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I really, really enjoyed that. And then she finally becomes a nurse practitioner, which is so great. I love the graduation scene, waving the flag, too. I was like, this is amazing.
That's right. That's right.
So I love great. That song so much.
I know, it gets stuck in my head all the time. I'm just like, let's jam out to
Me
this.
Too. I love it. That and the theme song to the show are just constantly playing in my mind, but I love it. So it's great.
What was your favorite part of this episode?
Ooh. I loved all of the bucket list stuff with
bucket list.
Yeah, bucket list. That was great. I also loved Elena's storyline. Was amazing. That scene between her and Alex is so great. Just the fact that they had Elena give her actual speech at the wedding, and then to have Alex say, "Well, why don't you tell me the one that you had wanted to say?" That scene made me cry. I thought they both did such a great job with it, and it seemed so real to me, and it really touched on that emotion of Elena can say that she's forgiven her dad, but sometimes it's easy to say that and not really, I mean, feel it. And but the dance at the end, I mean, I was crying throughout this whole episode.
And she works on the show. Yeah, she sees
and that's
the scripts.
The thing, like, you know, I'm not immune.
Well, you came in season 2, correct?
Yeah.
So had you been a fan of season 1 before, you know, auditioning? Or did you kind of, like, watch it when you got, like, the audition for it? Or what was your kind of experience?
Or, like, did you
before?
Know about the original? Like, did you talk to your mom about the original?
Oh, yeah. My mom for sure knew about the original. And so I knew who Norman Lear was, obviously.
Right.
And so that was great. But then, yeah, I had watched the show. And so I was excited about it, but tried to not, like, overhype it or psych myself out about it, because obviously Elena is such an iconic character and the fans love her so much, and so it was sort of when I was shooting season 2, I was a little bit nervous of how fans would react to Sid, because you don't really know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, are people going to troll me? I mean, I've been on the internet. I know YouTube culture.
Right.
And so, so I was kind of nervous. Oh, what if people just don't like me? But the fans were so amazing after the second season came out that I was kind of blown away. People have been really amazing. That's so awesome.
You got your own Funko Pop doll.
Oh yeah,
you have your own Funko Pop.
Well, one of the
I want my own Funko Pop.
PAs
doll.
On the show, Dined, her roommate makes custom like Funkos, and so I got a little Sid dressed as the TARDIS, and it's my favorite.
For
it's
people
my
who
most
don't watch
possession.
Doctor Who, the TARDIS is the time machine that Doctor Who flies in,
gosh.
And obviously, like, you know, you guys, that was your Halloween costume in season 2.
When Lydia says, "He's a Time Lord. Everyone knows this." That's my favorite thing about Doctor Who, because Penelope goes, like, "Why are you Doctor Who? What? Like, he's a doctor?" And then, anyway, Rita killed it with that line also.
She's
that's
so
one of
great.
My favorites.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, the fans are crazy, crazy passionate about you guys as a couple. Like, you guys, like, kill it in all of, like, the relationship pulls that every, like, you know, news site has. And, like, the fan art is, like, so amazing and so great. And you're such an important character, I think, for a lot of, you know, non-binary kids who are just starting to, like, realize who they are. And even adults, like, you know, people of all ages. What has that been like to kind of represent such an unrepresented group on television?
Yeah, that's what has been really amazing, is just the outreach from the non-binary community and the messages that I've gotten. I remember there was one tweet that I got basically saying, you know, thank you so much for playing Sid and playing them as a happy person. Because, you know, it's hard when it's, you know, there aren't a lot of non-binary characters on TV.
Right.
And so I think it means a lot to people to see a happy non-binary person, especially. And so it's been really incredible. Just the things that fans have said have meant so much to me and have really touched me a lot. I get kind of emotional reading some of the messages because, I mean, it's, you know, of course it's a comedy and it's an amazing show, but, I mean, this media reflects people's lives. And so this show is, I mean, it's more than just a TV show. It's an experience.
Listen, you should be in the pitching room when it comes to trying to sell this show other places. Wait,
did Gloria pay you to say that?
That Benihana line so just came back in my mind. I was like, it's more than a TV show. It's an experience. I don't know. I couldn't help myself. But yeah, I playing Sid has meant everything to me. Mm. I mean, and of course, I did my research on, you know, what it is to be non-binary and the non-binary community and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, Sid is so much more than just being non-binary. And, you know, Sid and Elena are, you know, teens.
Yeah.
And they go to school and they deal with a lot of issues that, you know, everyone goes through. And so I wanted to make Sid, you know, a well-rounded character that's also non-binary and is comfortable with themselves and happy in their relationship. And so, absolutely. Yeah.
Because you don't see a lot of that in general in high school students on TV. Like they, and that's the most confusing time, I feel like, for anybody, especially someone part of the non-binary or the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community, of like, we're all trying to figure it out, and then you just have added this on top of it. I can only imagine what some of these kids are coming out and saying to you, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's been really incredible. And I think that whole first time episode mm-hmm. was handled mm-hmm. in such a great way, and in such a, I mean, the writers did such an amazing job with that, because I think it's not something that you see that often in TV. Where,
I don't think ever, actually. I actually was stumped on that episode in this panel trying to express, like, and Candace actually was able to, like, express it for me in terms of just kind of the magnitude, because, like, right, it's usually you see in most shows, it's always, oh, it's the first time, and then it's always like a boy-girl situation, or, and then what I blanked out on was that normally, like, there is a maturing process of, like, you know, having that first time experience, but then it's also usually when it's boy and girl, you're thinking about, well, don't get the person pregnant, you know. But in this situation, that wasn't the case. It was just about you know, are you mature enough, you know, about having this experience?
Because your relationships and your emotional ties to anyone in that type of circumstance, regardless of what gender you are, is extremely tying and extremely just like it changes the chemical imbalance in your brain. And to be that young to experience that, like, severe amount of emotions and not be able to know how to process it,
right?
I feel like it was beautiful the way that they did
it. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I loved about that. Yeah, that's what I loved about it.
I've never seen a conversation like that mm-hmm. on TV, especially one where you have a person saying, we don't have to do it now, mm-hmm. or we don't even ever have to do it if you don't want to. I mean, that's not, it's usually, you know, you have teens and they're like, okay, let's do it or whatever. It's never like, are you sure, or are you ready for this? I think that's really important. And, you know,
because most teenagers think it's a rite of passage.
Right.
They're like, I have to do this.
Because also just your hormones are raging. Right, as teenagers. It's just,
But at the same time, like, to go on off of what she said.
Chemistry class.
Chemistry reads all the things. But, like, what you said, though, going off of that is just, to say we don't have to ever do that, that's not a thing you hear out of it. How old are you all on the show? 17, 16?
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that episode is just so amazing. And I feel like that's one that I've gotten a lot of response on from fans, and people are really enjoying that episode in particular. So I'm happy about that.
No, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, when Netflix or when they start doing the Emmy campaigns, you know, they always pick an episode or two. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be a really good one for Netflix. Hey, Netflix, push that episode.
I think that one, and then I also liked, I think it was the second episode of the season where they're talking about the harassment they face, like, going off of the bus. I think that was a really, really powerful one, too. It just, there's so many issues that come up, and it's just, like, acted and written so, so beautifully.
Yeah.
I like that you mentioned that fact that Sid is such a multidimensional character. I have sort of a fun question.
Ooh.
When this inevitably comes back for season 4 somewhere, which I'm just going to keep putting it into the universe, we haven't met Sid's family yet. Do you have any people in mind that you think would be so good to play, like your parents? And I know you have a brother.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good question.
Thank you. I'm so curious.
That's a really interesting question. Yeah. Because we kind of hear these tidbits about them, but...
Or how about this? When you go out and about and people are talking to you, and they maybe they compare you to somebody, like, you know who you are? You're like a younger version of so-and-so. Like, is there somebody that they point out to say, you're like a younger version of this older actress? Or like, because like the way that they cast Schneider and his dad, I was like, yes! Oh my gosh, I was like, you guys picked it to a T.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that yet.
That's so funny. Yeah. Okay, so one that I get a lot is a young Liza Minnelli.
Wow. Okay.
I love it.
For some reason, every time, it's always some, like, older man at a restaurant goes, you remind me of a young Liza. And I'm like, all right.
Sure.
I mean, very talented. I'll take it. But I feel like I also get Zooey Deschanel and Aubrey Plaza, but I feel like that could be because of the bangs.
You could do Zooey. I don't think Aubrey Plaza is old enough to play your mother yet.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Zooey's still a little young.
Well, yeah, but they could probably
Let's get Liza.
Let's just swing. Listen, we've gotten Gloria Estefan. Like, we've gotten people. Like, we can get her.
That'd be so wild.
I'm making promises to you on this show.
Ooh, Dad. That's
and
a
brother.
Tough one.
Or just someone you want to work
with. Yeah, the problem is there's too many.
I just
so
put
many.
It out there for fun.
I don't know why the only actor that's coming to my mind is Danny DeVito.
Oh my god.
Wait,
amazing.
Wouldn't that be?
Amazing.
That would be iconic.
That would be epic.
Wait, that's Liza so Minnelli good. And Danny DeVito as Sid's parents.
We're putting it into Done. The universe.
I don't know who Sid's brother would be, though.
The guy from Matilda. No,
it should be someone totally out of left field. Like... Yeah. Oh.
Well, what do you do when? Okay, so you were saying, you know, like you cried a little bit when you went on that audition. When you get the phone call, what's it like when you get the phone call? And then what do you do to go celebrate?
Oh my gosh, yeah,
Benihana.
Yeah, obviously,
right.
It sounds like we're sponsored by Benihana. The
Listen,
way that we
can be. Sure.
I'll take coupons.
Honestly, I'd take that sponsorship. Hibachi life.
Hashtag hibachi life. Hashtag say about that.
But yeah, I got that call and I think I was just in shock. I just got really shocked by the whole thing because it happened very quickly.
Yeah.
Like me auditioning and then all of a sudden getting it. I was like, wait. Is this how things happen?
Right.
This is
so good. Because normally you don't get a call. Yeah. You're so like, I guess nothing. Okay. So.
Yeah. And so I think I was really just in shock and just like, okay, I need to go take a walk. And so I did. And I was super like happy, but couldn't even process it because it was almost like it was just too good to be true in a way. I was like, what am I waking up from this? And then I think to celebrate, I don't know that I did anything super big. I think I went to dinner with my family and it was just like a celebratory dinner. And so that was really great.
Wait, but does that mean that you picked up a check or like, I'd still give it to mom and dad? I'd be like, hey.
I'm pretty sure I slid it over to them. Yeah,
I haven't started working yet.
When
I start working, I'll get you dinner.
Gives a whole new meaning to not yet.
Almost.
I love all of these references you're talking
about. I don't know how I'm thinking of them. Just like
you're
popping
a super fan. I love it.
Yeah, I really am. Like, I feel like I'm on the show, but I'm also just such a fan of the show.
Yeah.
And after when each season premieres, Gloria or Mike have like a viewing party at their house. And so everyone comes over and watches it. And usually people be kind of like talking or going and getting food. But I'm just glued to the screen. I'm like, I'm so excited.
So what I've learned is like Netflix will usually like, typically they'll send you links before it actually drops. I don't know. Is that the case for you?
Not for me. I was watching the same day as everyone else.
So then, okay. So like when it drops, then do you, cause this is what I do. When we have episodes, I scroll past these guys and I just go straight to me. So like, I don't know if you just jump to your episode. You're like, no, I'm not in that one. So you just like, I'm just kidding. But do you binge it? Do you like kind of like savor it? How do you watch, consume
Netflix.
Your show?
I would So it would drop at midnight, and then I would watch probably, like, four of them.
Because then it's by the time it's, yeah, it's like
yeah,
2 o'clock in the
exactly.
morning.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get overworked if I keep doing that. Like, I get so excited. And then the first thing when I wake up, I watch the rest of them because I'm just too excited about it. And I feel like... Like, well, I don't know, Rick. I guess you just skip to your part.
I don't care if Hannah's talking. I'm just like, scroll.
And we're just
kidding.
Living in it. But sometimes you're kind of nervous to watch yourself on screen. I'm like, I hope this turned out the way I want it to. But also, it's just weird. It's like, wait, I sound like that? I remember once I was watching something that I was in, and I turned to my mom afterwards, and I was like, I sound like Kermit the Frog.
Not true.
And she started dying laughing, but didn't say no.
Oh. Mom!
So, yeah. But I really like watching everyone else's stuff also. So
never gonna
yeah.
forget the Kermit the Frog. No.
I know. Is it true?
No.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
like
so.
Kermit
I think
no.
I was trying to... I was probably just
Kermit
joking.
The Frog here. But... No.
Well, my question before we end now is that we obviously have the news that One Day at a Time is not being renewed on Netflix. I have to take a moment for that one.
I'm going to try to get into the chat while you're asking.
Great. That being said, obviously, like, this is not the end. And Gloria has made a public statement that she is fighting. What was that day like? And this was only last week.
Yeah.
When you got the news and then to see the outpouring of love and support. Because you all were trending worldwide for Save Odette.
Yeah. So that day, I woke up and first thing I did was look at my phone, and then I saw that news and I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be a tough day. And I definitely cried a lot. And it was really sweet because one of the showrunners, Mike Royce, called me and talked to me about the whole thing, and I really appreciated that because it's like, you know, it's tough to hear that news, but then I feel like once I saw what all the fans were saying, and then it was trending for the whole day, like number one trending, and I don't know, I started to feel better because I saw how much everyone loves the show, and then just
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah. I mean, he's like the guy like doing the grassroots campaign for this thing.
Right.
That was insane.
Yeah.
That was, his tweets were incredible and amazing. And his video message with Rita, I started crying seeing that because I was like, yeah, they're going to save the show. But Save Odette was really incredible and it definitely made me feel a lot better because I know that Gloria and Mike are working really hard to, you know, to see if it can get picked up another place, because I think it definitely deserves to, and it's such an important show, and I think to see that everyone else thinks it's such an important show definitely made me feel better, so I'm feeling very hopeful now.
I mean, you guys are focusing on so many different communities that need to have a voice.
Yes.
And topics that are not being addressed a lot on TV and in a way that families can consume and like have conversations. Like, I don't know why the American public wouldn't want to have it somewhere.
Yeah. I think people who haven't seen the show will love the show because it's really great. I mean, it's a sitcom that's really funny. So
I mean, the black squirrel in the chat. I mean, she says hashtag we got you. And hold on. There's Elise Zila, she actually says, I actually love her voice, meaning yours. So.
So much love. Honestly, like, yes, we're putting it out into the universe. It's not the end. I really feel it in my heart and soul that we will see you guys very, very soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, thank you guys for having me.
So much fun. Where can everyone find you? And also tweet the hashtag SaveOdette.
Yeah, so on Instagram, I'm at SheridanPie. PI. And then on Twitter, I'm at Sheridan_Pierce.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Where can everyone find you guys?
Hey, guys. You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong. And keep in mind, if you live in Los Angeles, follow her because you can see her at UCB.
Yes.
Sheridan's also going to be on Dear White People on Netflix as well this coming up season.
Yes.
So, I mean, is there anywhere else we're going to see you, like... besides like the UCB and besides Dear White People?
But... Oh, those are the main places for sure. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for watching, guys. Be sure to hashtag Save Odette everywhere possible. Again, my name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Twitter at @alphabet_and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. We hope to see you soon. Hashtag Save Odette.
That's right. Do
Save
it.
Odette.
Do it.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.